Good morning. Last night then, we started to look at this text by His Holiness, the key to the middle way. The topic of this text is firstly to identify that the principal cause of all our suffering are our afflicted minds. These afflictions which arise nearly continuously within our continuum, these are what cause our suffering. And their root cause is the affliction, that is the ignorance of self-grasping. Thereafter, the text presents that having recognized this, we then need to look at the antidote and how to apply that antidote in order to be able to eradicate the root cause of all suffering and thereby gain freedom from suffering. And the antidote is the wisdom realizing emptiness. The contrary mind to the ignorance of self-grasping is the wisdom realizing emptiness. So therefore, we will come to see how to cultivate the wisdom understanding emptiness as well as the wisdom understanding dependent arising. These two cultivated together lead to a powerful wisdom realizing emptiness, the very best or the supreme of all antidotes that will lead to the complete eradication of all suffering. In addition to presenting the topic of this text, last night we also looked at for whom His Holiness composed this text. So he has presented here in this text the presentation on emptiness as well as dependent arising. And he's taken the teachings of the Buddha, which were commentated on by many great masters in a vast array of profound texts, and he's condensed their meaning, taken their essence, and put it in this brief text. And he's written this text in particular for those who have a deep desire to come to understand emptiness as well as dependent arising, but they lack the opportunity to be able to study the profound root texts, and rather he has then taken the meaning of those root texts and condensed them into this brief text. And moreover, in addition to the quality of aspiring to study emptiness and dependent arising, this text is also written for those who are of sharp intelligence and can come to understand these profound topics.
Dunga ん、どうまでもで、せ、これ、せ、でに、ジュバだ、せはやんせで、まるで、ではでもある、ここは、では、では、さんある、では、で、ちょ、ここです。さんある、どうま、みてば、さんある、どうま、よば、せ、だ、めば、どうま、まじゅんあで、ごんごちやら、ディチ、ここです。でね、あんで、え、じゃ、ここです、で、すんごるだ。あ、で、せはやん、せ、でば、どれでね。
Now turning to the text, looking at the next outline, that of the path to happiness. So here now we come to the main body of the text. And here His Holiness is now fleshing out the purpose for this text and why, and not just for the purpose of the text, but why we need to come to understand this topic of emptiness and dependence arising, or understand the presentation on emptiness and dependence arising. And that is because, as we see here now looking at the text, we all want happiness and do not want to suffer. So here in these first few words, the purpose for coming to understand this topic is presented. But in order to achieve happiness, in order to attain a state of lasting, stable happiness, we need to, and the line continues, and the achievement of happiness. So happiness needs to be cultivated.
And then, deva digi deva druba da dunga sewa se kukura. And then, karirese ne, lunga yisum yu jeba la rale shins. Sesanta, dunga sewa da digi druba di kawa le tingiro san, lunga yisum yu jeba la rale gore. Lunga yisum yu jeba di yaku chiyomba yana, and then, nganzo kiho digi druba tuku deva druba da re. Lunga Yusumi Cheba, the Yahu Machamban, and Delet in Duma Yungo. Chesan, Lunga Yusumi Cheba tea, and a Yahu Yuan Duga di Yapa Gaya da, and a Yahu Yuan de Chukuko. Chesan, Lunga Yusumi Cheba la Rally, Lugi Cheba, Dangagi Cheba, Yi Cheba la Rally go, Regere.
Not only does happiness need to be cultivated, but suffering needs to be eliminated. And how is this done? Well, it depends upon the deeds of body, speech, and mind. So if our physical activities, our verbal communication, and our way of thinking is wholesome or virtuous, we will be accomplishing the causes for happiness. On the other hand, though, if our way of thinking and the resulting verbal communication and way of physical and physical interaction is unwholesome or non-virtuous,
suffering will develop, suffering will increase. 파셔미디리아 나이고네
So how is it that the accomplishment or the achievement of happiness and the elimination of suffering depends upon the deeds of our body, speech, and mind? Well, if we think about it, if we engage in unwholesome behavior, such as lying to others or speaking harshly to others, so we engage in this illustration, a verbal unwholesome behavior, this is an expression of our own unhappy mind. And through expressing our own unhappy mind, we compound it, we make it stronger. So therefore, through engaging in unwholesome activities, such as these verbal activities, we strengthen and amplify our own suffering. Moreover, the recipient of our harsh speech, the recipient of our lies, their suffering increases as well. So therefore, suffering is compounded for ourselves and others should we engage in unwholesome behavior. And as suffering is what we need to eliminate, we need to then recognize this, the causes of suffering, and then come to understand the technique for abandoning this. So firstly, we then need to stop unwholesome behavior, and accompanying this, we need to engage in the opposite behavior, in wholesome behavior. So instead of lying to others, we need to speak in an honest and a straightforward manner. And instead of speaking in a harsh or an abrupt manner, speaking in a gentle and a kind way. When one does this, one's own mental state is in a peaceful and relaxed state. Hence, the expression of our mental state, our verbal expression of our mental state, is wholesome. So we ourselves are happy. We are achieving our desired happiness. And the recipient of our pleasant speech, our gentle speech, their mind is also, either if they're unhappy, their unhappiness is eased, or if they're in a good mental state, that is amplified. So therefore, by us turning away from non-virtue and engaging in virtue, not only are we happy, but we bring happiness to others too. Similarly, with our physical behavior, in dependence on our body or our physical behavior, we can achieve happiness or create causes for further suffering. So for example, if we engage in physical conflict with others, fight with them, beat them, etc., or we steal from others, or we try and dominate others in some way, we ourselves at that time are suffering. When we're acting in such a way, the motivation that leads to this is afflicted, and therefore we are suffering. Moreover, the recipient of our physical altercations, or whose possessions are being stolen, or who's being dominated by us, they are suffering too. So here we firstly, just like with the previous illustration, need to recognize the faults of unwholesome behavior. Recognize what is unwholesome behavior through recognizing its faults. And then we need to stop it. Stop engaging in such behavior. And how to do so? More than just relying on self-discipline, we need to use our intelligence, cultivate wisdom. We need to, through seeing the faults of unwholesome behavior, we also then need to see the benefits of wholesome behavior. So here we cultivate our intelligence, our wisdom. And we see that the benefits of when we physically interact with others, to do so in a wholesome manner, that benefit comes to others as well as ourselves. So rather than dominating others and abusing others, we should help them, utilize our skills and our qualities to benefit others. And we see from when we do engage in others like this based on our own experience, we know that we develop close and harmonious relationships with them. We are seen as someone trustworthy. Others talk well about us. And why this is so important is that when we are in their presence, they are comfortable and relaxed. And therefore, they also relate to us in a way that expresses this comfortable and relaxed state of mind. So therefore, when we physically interact with others in a wholesome way, not only is our mental state happier, but so too are others. When one engages in unwholesome or non-virtuous behavior in this life, whether physical or verbal behavior, not only does that lead to compounding our own suffering as well as the suffering of others right now, but we accumulate non-virtuous karma. And that non-virtuous karma, when it ripens in our future lives as it will, our suffering continues. So therefore, through engaging in non-virtuous physical and verbal behavior, not only do we and others suffer in this life, but we suffer in our future lives as well. To the extent that one develops a wholesome outlook and engages in wholesome or virtuous behavior with others, again, whether physical or verbal behavior, only benefit comes from this. So if we interact with others in a loving and a kind way, for example, speaking to others in a gentle manner, physically showing them kindness, then in this way, we help ease the suffering of others. We help ease the suffering of others through either physically helping them or being skillful, giving skillful advice. So in this way, we ease the suffering of others, increase their happiness as well, and we ourselves are happy too. So there's benefit to self and others right now. Moreover, through engaging in this way, we are accumulating virtuous karma. And this virtuous karma, when it ripens as it will in our future lives, it will ripen as happy experiences. For example, we will accumulate the causes for good rebirths, rebirths as a human or a god in our future lives. So here we see the benefits that come from cultivating a wholesome outlook and engaging in beneficial interactions with others. I don't think what I've been saying here in these last couple of segments is really new for anyone here, because whether one's Buddhist or not, certainly everyone in society knows that this is true from their own experience. We know that when we are unhappy and we take our mood out on others, we're just spreading this negativity that we're feeling, we're spreading to all those unfortunate enough to be around us. And what happens? At the very least, they become unhappy. Most likely, they respond to us now under the influence of this unhappy mind that has arisen within them because of ourselves taking out our bad mood on them. So if we speak to others in a harsh manner, then they're likely to respond to us in a similar manner. Or if we deceive others, steal from others, we will break the relationship of trust with them or prevent any relationship of trust growing. Or if they later come to find out that we lied to them, that we took advantage of them, they will get angry with us. And when we meet again, they are quite likely to express that anger to us, maybe even hit us. At the very least, will not like us, will not want to be around us, However, we also know from our own experience that when we speak to others in a gentle manner, we show kindness to others, whether they are people that are dear to us or they're strangers, whomever they may be. The happiness that we feel within us is spread and shared with those that we encounter. And this leads to either their own unhappiness, if they're unhappy at the time, dissipating, or if they are in a good mood, their happiness increasing. And they are likely then to respond to us, to interact with us in a similar manner. So this we know from our own experience. this part of the text here is establishing the motivation, not the motivation, sorry, the purpose of all that is still to come. So now His Holiness makes the key point that our physical and verbal behavior, whether wholesome or unwholesome, comes about independent on a motivating consciousness, a motivating mind. And that's presented then in the next sentence. As the actions of body and speech depend upon the mind, we must therefore constructively transform the mind. This then is a key point that His Holiness is making here, that whether one's speech or physical behavior is wholesome or not depends on the motivating mind. If the mind is unhappy, it's very likely that resulting speech or behavior will be non-virtuous. If the mind, the stronger the afflictions are within the mind, the stronger the likelihood of an unwholesome behavior following. So for example, if one's mind is dominated by attachment's very strong, one's desiring something, due to the dominance of this afflicted mind of attachment, we will take something that is not ours. We will take something knowing that it is someone else's, and we will disregard that. We will see the fulfillment of our desire, this mental consciousness of desire, to see the fulfillment of that as being more important than whether someone values that object or not. Similarly, if our self-interest is very strong, we will deceive others, take advantage of others, because we'll be regarding what we want as primary, as most important. If we don't regard others much, but our mind is afflicted, thinking just about ourselves, we will take advantage of others. And this is the case for both verbal behavior and physical behavior. To the extent that our mind is afflicted, to that extent we are likely to engage in unwholesome physical and verbal behavior. And again, to the extent that our mind is afflicted, to that extent the strength of our resulting physical and verbal behavior will be harmful to others.
Motor Horn, Dedigua, Chita Dina de Motor Tangan de Lech, and Tangan de Gilene, Mother the Jobo draw matter the Sulawyers and Mother Tang and Lawyer, Jobo to win, Mother Tang and the Jobo Tangan, Mother the Jobo to worry, Gilly Seven, Gilly to worry, Mother Tang and the Lagamaji with Judy Vena, Mother the Judy Warwa. Jibar Wada, Luna Juba said, Mother Jobo Troy at the Jedi, Jeda, and then I'll do same key Jew Tandy, now Mother Tang and the Jibaridwa. In a general, the same key that Jiji draw somebody, Ludi, Rameva, could you then draw Shagrova? Drugumias and did digging some someone, and let it digging some someone, so would you give them what they did do you go over? Says an answer, some of the Jiggy, Yuji, and the Jigom, Yuji, let me say, Tetu, Nisha, some of the Jan, Hunema, the Tele, Tetu, Nia Devana, Ludi, could you give them what they did go over? Says not done on some of the Bishop and some of the Pah, Shijima, Chiji, Dudu. And the other people
If we liken our body and our speech to a vehicle, a motor vehicle, we know a car will not go anywhere unless there is a driver. And our mind, in analogy, is like the driver. The driver determines the direction the car will travel in, the speed that the car will travel in. So similarly, our mind determines the direction that our physical and verbal behavior will go in. So therefore, if through mindfulness we take control of our own mind and keep it on virtue, ensure that it's not overwhelmed by afflictions, but that virtuous minds arise, our physical and verbal behavior towards others will be skillful, will be kind, will be gentle, and will be wise, bringing benefit to both them and ourselves. So for example, when one has developed a powerful, concentrated mind, meditation, when one holds the object of meditation in an undistracted manner, single-pointed manner, one is not then going to engage in any distracted activity at all. One will not be speaking or moving around because one's mind is concentrated. One's holding one's object still. In fact, the only physical behavior one may engage in then is while one is sitting on a meditation cushion, one's body may fall over. But other than that, there will be no movement because of the strength of the mind. So the mind here, we can liken to a driver determining the direction and the speed that a car goes in, the car being our physical and verbal behavior.
Sim Nurujin Mijewadang, Sampi Rikijing, Pelwa Chikitis, Jesan Sim Sugyotan said, Sim Guatan said, Karasade, Sim Nurtu, Nurtujin, Sim Nurtuji, the Pa Maji Gimena, Majele, Mungwachi, Pasunyachi, Giobina, Pa Mabasuadi, Mabasuadi, yes, Nurtu Sim Nurtu, Jen Mijewas. That's it, Sampi Riki, Sim Sampi Riki, Gimena, Gansun Yang, Samadan, Gijuatan. Sim Sambu Rang Gule, Sosor Gule, Gio Baina, Diana and some Dutch more competitive ideas. She's a DJ, Sim Sugutan had the DS water.
So here, the primacy of mind is being established. Here, it's also good to be clear that the more skillful one is mentally, the more rapid our transformation will come. For example, if one has to hand wash clothing, but hasn't got knowledge or experience about how to do so, one's clothing is likely not to become very clean. But if one understands well and knows what to do, one's clothing will become spotless. So here, in order to clean our physical and verbal behavior, this depends on the skill of the mind. The next sentence then brings about how to constructively transform the mind. The ways of constructively transforming the mind are to cause mistaken states of consciousness not to arise and wholesome states of consciousness to be both generated and increased. So here, independence on the knowledge that one is gaining, as well as the skill one is developing in meditation in relation to that knowledge, one starts to become ever more mindful of our mental process. And through this, when we see an unwholesome mind, an afflicted mind arise, one immediately eliminates it. Moreover, one guards one's mind to ensure that afflictions do not arise, but should they do, one eliminates them. And together with this process, guarding against the arisal of afflictions, one also, at the same time, ensures that one's mind stays on virtuous objects. One's mind stays wholesome. And moreover, where certain wholesome mental states one is not so used to, not so habituated to, one intentionally cultivates these, strengthening or developing these new virtuous ways of thinking. And where one is already inclined to a particular virtuous way of thinking, that inclination one develops further and strengthens. So it's these two processes one engages in, being mindful of one's mental state, preventing the arisal of the afflictions and eliminating them should they arise, and whilst being mindful of one's mental state, keeping one's mind on virtue, strengthening virtuous minds, increasing virtuous minds. So give an easy illustration to hopefully make this clear. Being mindful of our mental state whilst going about our activities, being mindful of our mental process. When we notice a mind arise, independent on our prior training, we need to recognize whether that mind is wholesome or unwholesome, virtuous or non-virtuous. So if the thought arises that I want to take something, I want to steal something, it's not mine, and I want to take it, we already know that that is an unwholesome way of thinking. Because this way of thinking already harms oneself and certainly is likely to lead to us engaging in unwholesome physical behavior and stealing, and thereby harm coming to not only ourselves but to others as well. So being mindful of this arisal of the thought, I want to take that, I want to steal that, and being aware that this is unwholesome and only leads to harm, we then recognize that. Recognize that this is not a mind to allow to strengthen within us through habituation, or certainly not to act under the influence of. Then, as well as that set of thought processes, accompanying that, having recognized that an affliction has arisen, we then apply an antidote. And the antidote here is quite straightforward, recognizing the faults of stealing, the faults of the arisal of attachment, and certainly the faults of acting under it. Allowing ourselves to become ever more habituated to the attachment that leads us to want to steal creates causes for us to suffer in the future. Moreover, should we act under the influence, not only does that create further causes for us to suffer, it will bring harm to others. So here we generate the thought, I don't want to steal. I don't want to take what others value. I don't want to be controlled by my attachments and my desire because of the harm that will come to me as well as to others. And not only right now, but also in future lives. So here, through the process of mindfulness, we become aware of our mental process. When we notice an afflicted mind arise, we bring a stop to it through seeing the faults. And we eliminate it through cultivating a virtuous mind. And thereafter, having cultivated this determination not to steal, not to come under the influence and the control of attachment, now we have a virtuous mind present, and we keep that present. And we keep that virtuous mind of seeing the faults of attachment, rather wanting to be generous towards others, etc. We keep that mind present, and in this way, we strengthen our habituation to a virtuous way of thinking, and we've already started to weaken our habituation to non-virtuous ways of thinking. And the more we do this repeatedly over a sustained period, we become ever more virtuous in our way of thinking, and our non-virtuous habitual patterns start to weaken and dissipate.
Lamrim Giga to go look at Yamlin Chazan, Dina de Dutsavare, Sanji, Sonyaki, Sonyaki, Yamlin Jay, Chazan, Dundani, which is a Dutsar, just Sanji, Chirk, Sumwayne, Sim Nuduch and Mijavati, Majeg, Mongwache, Jevati, Jepa, Jun, Dajipa, Jumsan, Jevati, Mavasu, Chagore, just the same Samo, Majevati, Jeva, Dumbaki, Dinga, the Kiev was Dumbaki, Haki, Juada.
The sentence then that we just looked at, the ways of constructively transforming the mind are to cause mistaken states of consciousness not to arise and wholesome states of consciousness to be both generated and increased. Within this one sentence that His Holiness has composed, the entire meaning of the Lamrim is there. All the graduated steps to the achievement of liberation and enlightenment are included within this sentence. Because independent on the knowledge that we gain through studying the Buddha Dharma, and independent on the skill that we gain in meditation on that knowledge, we become ever more mindful of our mental process, ever more aware of our mental process, and on the basis of this mindfulness or awareness of our mental process, we come to recognize the mental states or the consciousnesses that are arising, and in dependence on our knowledge, we can identify those minds, those consciousnesses, as being either virtuous or non-virtuous. Minds to be cultivated and strengthened, minds to be abandoned and eliminated. So in this way, we come in this one sentence to see the entire path from where we are up to the achievement of liberation from suffering and even enlightenment.
Lorik Nalba, Semjung, Mubjungajik,
Earlier in the year, when we were looking, concluding the topic of Lodik, of awareness and knowers, we looked at the 51 mental factors. So in dependence on what we studied then, this too should arise in your mind now, that the mistaken states of consciousness, these we looked at, the six root afflictions, the 20 secondary afflictions. These are the mistaken states of consciousnesses. These are the consciousnesses that cause us to suffer now and create the causes for further suffering. These are the consciousnesses that when we are expressed, bring suffering to others as well. So it's these that we must prevent from arising, or when they do, to eliminate them through applying an antidote. And the antidotes then are the wholesome states of consciousnesses, which we both need to generate and increase. So these wholesome states of consciousness can be expressed as either the 11 virtuous mental factors, or to look at it in a more expansive way, the way that we usually would be the six perfections of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration and wisdom, as well as love and compassion, and other consciousnesses such as the mind of definite emergence. So overcoming and abandoning the one class of consciousnesses and developing the other, this is the path to happiness. And in this one sentence here, in dependence on our prior training, we can see the entire path laid out. Within this same line, taken to a deeper level, the ways of constructively transforming the mind. We've mentioned the mind to be abandoned and cultivated. But the most powerful way or method to constructively transform the mind is to come to understand and recognize the root cause of all our suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping. Because it's from this ignorance, this consciousness of ignorance, that all our other afflictions arise, and it's from our afflictions that come our various faulty behavior, physical and verbal behavior. So we need to recognize that the root cause of all suffering is ignorance of self-grasping. So that there is included within the mistaken states of consciousness. And how to overcome this principal mistaken state of consciousness? This is to develop the principal wholesome state of consciousness. And this is the mind that is contrary to an ignorance, which is a wisdom. And one cultivates the wisdom by first recognizing that the ignorance of self-grasping is actually a consciousness of ignorance. In other words, a consciousness that is not in accordance with reality. When one comes to recognize that the ignorance of self-grasping is not in accordance with reality, we will know that this is a mind that is completely faulty, pervaded by being faulty, and therefore needs to be abandoned, certainly should not be followed. Having given rise to this wish to not follow and even abandon the ignorance of self-grasping, one engages in the reflection of how phenomena do exist, how the self does exist. Come to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, develop the correct view based on dependence arising. And to the extent that we develop the wisdom understanding emptiness, to that extent we embark on the cultivation of the mental path. Okay, I'll try. Okay. So to the extent that we cultivate the wisdom understanding emptiness within us, to that extent we embark on the path to happiness. And the path to happiness is a mental path, and it leads to not just any happiness, but the lasting stable happiness of liberation and enlightenment. So as I mentioned last night, His Holiness here has condensed the vast teachings or the extensive teachings on the profound view of emptiness into this brief text. Similarly, we can see in this one sentence we're looking at here, it's a very short sentence, just a dozen or so words, but within that, such an extensive meaning. So having recognized then the primacy of mind, as well as the importance to not come under the influence of unwholesome ways of thinking, but cultivate wholesome ways of thinking, His Holiness continues. What are the determinants in this context of unwholesome and wholesome states of consciousness? A state of consciousness once produced may initially cause ourselves to become unhappy and our previously calm and relaxed state of mind suddenly to become nervously excited or tense. This may then cause our respiration to increase, cause us to sweat nervously, may even lead to illness. From these, in turn, objectionable deeds of body and speech may well follow, which directly, indirectly, or incidentally cause displeasure and hardship for others. All states of consciousness that give rise to such a causal sequence are assigned as harmful.
Mangbu dene sem kondu günü bu çağı dene sosu subole nazil eyadan. Ani çige di yiyince ne, ani lü ngagi çöpene. Tad kondu şükçüme lü ngagi kone şenle çıksu şeya. Ani lü yu kone kondu gazi şükçedü, lü yu kone şenle növü giyadan. Ani dene yungurez. Cizan ngue san ngue şu güsüm yu kone şenle növü ge, ran şenle növü ge, mateva suya ge sam çikli gore. Cizan dene ge samlo di, samlo
So here is His Holiness is starting to unpack what is meant by what is meant by unwholesome ways of thinking. Later, wholesome consciousnesses will be presented. But first, the unwholesome ones. So here, the way to relate to the Dharma is on a personal level, an experiential level. So if you recall at the time when your mind was at peace, you're calm and you're relaxed, and then something unwanted happened, and one got annoyed or frustrated or perhaps even angry. Immediately, that happy, calm state of mind is lost. One may then also start to panic, breathing more quickly, one's mind becoming agitated and nervously dancing around. But a few moments before, one's mental state was calm and peaceful and spacious. But through the arisal of a harmful way of thinking, an affliction such as anger, that is lost. And from this faulty way of thinking, this has an impact on our physical body too. It's a cause for illness arising. Moreover, when minds like this arise, we lose control of our way of thinking, we are very likely to express how we are feeling now, and verbally speak to others in an abusive manner, physically interact with others in a harmful way. So this illustration is one of where the arisal of the consciousness of anger or annoyance or frustration, but it's the same for the other afflictions. When the mind is calm and peaceful and undisturbed, an attachment or desire for something arises. Our mind is no longer spacious. We're now grasping at something, dominated by wanting things to go our way, wanting to have what we desire. Similarly, with the arisal of pride, a formerly spacious mind is lost. Now our mind is dominated by thoughts of perhaps looking down on others. So this we need to come to recognize well within ourselves. And then in addition to this, not only is our happiness lost immediately, but non-virtuous karma is created in this way. And through this, we will suffer in our future lives. So this, in brief, is what is meant by unwholesome minds or harmful minds. Then the next paragraph. The determinants of wholesome states of consciousness, on the other hand, are just the opposite. All states of consciousness that cause the bestowal of the results of happiness and peace upon ourselves and others, either now or in future lives, are designated as wholesome. As I said in the previous segment, as soon as an affliction arises, for example, anger, and again, the affliction doesn't need to arise in a full-blown manner, but even in a milder state, our happiness is lost, our mind becomes unhappy, especially if it's something like anger or attachment, then our mind becomes agitated, disturbed, unsettled. However, if our mind, we're using mindfulness, we're aware of our mental process, and we're keeping our mind on virtue, so we're keeping a consciousness such as love or compassion dominant, then whatever we're encountering, as long as these wholesome, these virtuous consciousnesses are dominant, whatever we're encountering, our mind will stay relaxed and spacious. And this ensures that not only are we ourselves happy, we ourselves are undisturbed by what's happening about us, but our wisdom, our intelligence, these we can utilize, these we can make use of, and we can do so because our mind is relaxed and spacious, it's not agitated. And therefore, we can interact with others in a skillful manner, in a beneficial manner. And thereby, not only do we remain happy now, but we create in the causes virtuous karma that will ensure future happiness for us as well, happiness in our future lives as well. Moreover, we are able to interact with others in a skillful manner and thereby be of benefit to them, helping them, for example, develop skills and qualities, or if they're suffering, to lessen the suffering and difficulty they are experiencing. So in these two paragraphs, we see the results of unwholesome and wholesome ways of thinking completely contrary. And they're contrary in terms of their ripening results, both in the immediate term as well as in future lives. Moreover, they're contrary in terms of the effect they have not just on ourselves, but on those we are interacting with. So in this way, we come to see our harm comes to ourselves and others now and in future lives, or benefits can come to others and ourselves now and in future lives, independent on our way of thinking. So here we see that independence on our way of thinking, directly, indirectly, or incidentally, we can bring benefit or harm to ourselves and others, and harm that will be experienced now, or benefits that will be experienced now, as well as in future lives.
That is it. Dalam nutrisi ye, apa cimewa soalnya, ni kan dicukur sendiri. Tadi sana nutrisi ye, sem mikir bercakap yang, serta nutrisi ye sem di mikir bercakap di, macam mikir bercakap di kalau cukur sendiri bercakap yang, ane leza syarjuh dan ribu sawah dan yang ni ni siapa tapi ke, jemah misawa siapa, ni tubu kuat tapi ke, jemah siapa ke. Tashi namji chasi penpa resung, resung yung siba zam le pu na pen le nye sab, nye chivi rik mang sa. Desa.
Then continuing to the next paragraph. As for ways of preventing mistaken states of consciousness not to arise, there are such means as undergoing brain surgery, taking various types of tablets, making our awareness dull as if overcome with drowsiness, and making ourselves senseless as if in a deep sleep. However, apart from only occasional superficial help, these mostly do more harm than good from the point of view of long-term solutions.
Sim nurjuki dike sim ngamba dike meva suyala ta ngaju chikaji shakshu de menju je je ne meva suya yo mares urwa da ane jige na jibu sa che meva suya yo mares de jizan anju ge gari yong sne sim ma ji ba da be sim le ga ma ngo je de ga ju ge chang lu dong ya da jibu sa ya da ne yong urwa zha sa ya da di sa ba ne ko na tom tom je sim mi sa wa su ne ga ko su de se 刚才没把这个什么鸡巴的蒙古巴怎么多？那第一，那开始做的是呢，什么呀？准备就去准备，刚刚没把还没过，你说还没过，吃的这个铺了牛肉的，好的，你看他什么刚刚有的搞了，吃了东西，肉不新鲜了，都是在什么？这些我们的旧的的，可沾点了水，吃过的，因为什么的没把水嘛，你那个怎么就给的？
全部没电吧，咱没日本马上要睡下，日本谁不没把睡的？还没我睡下了吧？就像俺这别人家吧，这鸡巴吃过了吧？咱们刚刚有把的面啥些的面的，说话还没我睡下的嘛都。你刚刚你没把睡下嘛了？就是你那，你给那个偏把肉，就俺这偏给都三百三六用过来的，那个的那用过来的呢？你给铺了呀，你给我来是。
As stated here, in the world, then techniques for dealing with mental unhappiness includes perhaps surgery, as well as taking medication or intoxicants. And all these do is dull our senses. So whilst they may give us some temporary relief through being in a state that's similar to being anaesthetized, dulling our intelligence, dulling our consciousness, this is all that it can lead to. Certainly, even in the short term, from engaging in such behavior, more problems and difficulties can arise. So the temporary benefit can be very short-lived, and more problems can come, for example, alcoholism or reliance on prescription medication. But certainly, this is not a lasting solution, and the temporary relief that may be experienced may be very temporary indeed, but certainly not a lasting solution. To rely on techniques such as these, for example, surgery, medication following medical advice to overcome physical illness, this is good to do, and it can and does lead to the illness healing. But for mental illness, a long-term solution requires something additional. Such solutions in the long term does not lead to relief.
And then ribu sawa ta sawa yang ni yi siwa ta bi ta ba mi so so wa se do je sang ang je kang a sem je kang a mong bo yi de en chang de ya de ribu sa yo ve ne de ni sem ji ni khu wa na xi mi so wa so xie ba le ma to kang a de me ba so yo ma le je sang ang zu chuo nyu ai me ba zi so xie chuo me se ba so xie wa jie.
From one's experience, one knows that there's some truth to this, in that if one takes medication, whether prescription or non-prescription, or takes intoxicants, there is an immediate following of dullness and an easing of one's suffering. But this effect wears off. It is temporary. It is not a lasting solution.
Yang ni tubo kuba tabo jamil suvigi tap namki chela pembigi pamba rezung yung siba zamle sewa. Sizadang anzugi pe semakanga to the pe chan river sasha vena, pe ni kuan jamme chikpa, jinuga meba chadu, di nega bring dila, nuba de maye para nega bring dila, kaya madam baza, sem yakanga di kaya medios chagurwa. Say, do you see pamba yung siba che? Sam mado.
The text continues. However, apart from only occasional superficial help, these mostly do more harm than good. So a point is being made here which is important. Apart from only occasional superficial help. So it's not that, for example, taking a medication for mental illness should not be done. There is benefit that can come from this, but it should be recognized that this is not certain and it's not going to be long-lasting, or it's not going to give a lasting result in terms of eliminating the cause.
ဒီနေ့ကြီးအဲဆင်လျာကိုရိပတ်မစိဝချီတူချက်ပချေရဲ့ဆမ်တိုင်ရဲ့ရိပတ်ချင်တဲ့ရိပတ်စေတိုင်မြဘာချာဇာနေစပ်ချေနေနာစမန်ဘူးလျာချေကိုရစေဇီဘူဒီပါဇေနေနေကပရင်စုညစီထုံထုံညခုပနာချေနေကပရင်ချေကံမဲနေရန်ရန်ညဘရေးတူတက်ကံရန်တူရန်ချေရိပတ်စေရန်ရန်တူစနေဒီနေ့စုဘူးလျာနေနာစလျာတာစုဘူးလကံအချေရတာပဲချေစုဘူးဖန်တော်မြဘာချာဂဒီနေ့ဒါမရှိပါတော့ဒီနေ့ချေထုံထုံချေတော့ကချေကံအချေချေအန်
So whilst there is, or there can well be, some short-term benefits to engaging in techniques like this, not only are these not a long-term solution to mental difficulties, through over-reliance on some of these methods, further problems can come. For example, if one either takes too many prescription medication, too much prescription medication, or keeps drinking, this can lead to further physical problems. Our physical problems growing, or perhaps even new instances of men's mental illness developing. So again, whilst there often is some short-term benefit, this is not a long-term solution at all. Because these do not resolving the problem at the underlying cause, one will continue to suffer. And in fact, one's suffering may grow and increase, leading to one taking ever more intoxicants, for example. And a further problem of this technique is that as one dulls one's mind to try and forget about one's problems, our intelligence, our wisdom is dulled, is impeded. And this prevents us from developing or applying any long-term solutions because of this mental dullness. So therefore, we stay lost, we stay suffering without a long-term solution because of impeding our own intelligence. So here, His Holiness is discouraging us from relying primarily on such techniques. Now he continues, therefore the way of beneficially transforming the mind is as follows. First, one must think about the disadvantages of unwholesome states of consciousness, identifying them from one's own personal experience.
Motivate ဒီစားတန်းအကျိုးလုံငန်းပါတီဖာကျူဝတ်တန်းကျိုးလောဆောင်ပြီးတိတိကျူဝတ်လောဆောင်ပြီးတိငါကျိုးကျူကိုပေါ်ပါဒီစားဒီနေ့ကျိုးဆက်ခရစ်ကျော်တဲ့ညီမိစမ်တန်းကိုလည်းချက်ပင်ငါကျိုးခွန်ချိုချစ်စမေတာခွန်ချိုဒီဖာလုံငန်းပါတီဒီဘကျူဝတ်တန်းကျိုးလောဆောင်ဖို့ဒီဉာဏ်ကြည့်ရစ်တဲ့ငါကျိုးကျူလေးကြပါချက်ကိုပေါ်တယ်ဒီစားဒီညီဒီစားတန်းဒဲလျာအဲကျိုးကျူခရစ်ကျော်ဆန်တန်းဖို့ခ 가리고도 세베게 예미삼다 도우신의 코너 사바이나 세상 코너 사바이나 코너의 진지대 소설이야 샘마기와 차야 아니 소설이 잘라 출라 땅야 소설이 뒤져 출라 땅야 소설이 사네 칼라사네 칼라신부 매바 소설이 아니 조건님도 미툰바 차야 그 지게 미툰바 차야 되게 안에 소설이야 안지게 니후베네 니야지고 막거대 도신 das kongru sabe na kanga de ne kya mang bo ri mang go chi yong do sa be sam da ya da de ne gi an kongru sabe na an di kongru jian che ne jian ye qing gan ba la an su su ge ge wo ji ji ne ma ge wo su ya ge wo mia ba su ya sem ta ring bo su ya an xian ma ji bo su ya an de ne gi a ji ge yong do de ne sa de kongru de le de jun de du se bo kongru ge jian de ji gar gar yong go che sang kongru sabe na 내가 Jambasa de Shanya Jamba dewa de ten, Shandy Yawuna, Sembe Shan, Jamba some tambine, Jamba combine Jamba digi, Ranla Nugu, Shan and Nugu, the Karchi with the Labna, Susu Jamza some tambine, and Nerabdelia, Susu Semhule, she de, and the chick is Jamba Yubana, Jamze Yubana, Rangi Jobwana, Gungonia, what a Tumbu Shaya, and the chick. Kishi Sheva in a Shalia, Tik Jam Yahushea, Namu Turban, Yahutuya, and Kishiva the Jambushea, Dinishion, and Shan Dinishiud, Rangi Namu the Yahushe, Pasu in a, and Sulia, Sambuchea, Konzu in a symbol Hulusha, Semi Ludi Yishi Yahuchaya, Dinishundu, Dinisa, Jambigi, Kondugu, Doshogi, Jambadilla, and Yuende Dinishu, Yuende Dinidua, Sambigeta, when you Kondugu, Yuendil, Kondupin, and Pedro, Kondola, Yuendanya, Yuenga.
The sentence here is of great importance. One must think about the disadvantages of unwholesome states of consciousness, identifying them from personal experience. So if we apply this then to, for example, the afflictive mind such as anger. And anger can be a useful one to start with because it's so easy to recognize as being harmful. So one here needs to come to know what is meant by anger, its gradient of expressions, from frustration, annoyance, up to full-blown rage, and see the effect that it has on oneself and others, now and in future lives. So here, we need to learn and come to understand the results of the varying afflicted minds. But not only learn as in terms of intellectual knowledge, not learning just a list of harmful afflictions, not even learning some detail behind them in terms of their results, but really coming to know this to be true, that, to know that they are pervaded by being harmful from our own experience. This is the second key point made in this sentence. We need to develop knowledge, and that knowledge needs to be based or mixed with our own personal experience. Because we can all agree that anger is harmful. We know that it destroys relationships. When one's in a fit of rage, one may even destroy one's own valued and treasured possessions. Anger often doesn't quickly dissipate, and thereby prevents us from sleeping, or we lose our appetite, and others will stay away from us. We have a reputation for being angry, easily enraged. Others will keep their distance from us. So we need to not to see this in the sense of not just learning it, but see it as a truth for us based on our own experience. Moreover, we look at the impact, in addition to ourselves, the impact that our anger has on others. Certainly, it's clear if we express it, but even if we manage not to express it, we are likely still to show it, to radiate this inner rage to others. And we see the harm that that brings to others right now, that we end up inadvertently adding to the burden of difficulties that others have to carry. So in this way, we think about the faults that come from each affliction, such as anger, to ourselves, secondly, to others. And that's encompassed in the short term, the immediate term. And then in addition to this, long term, so our future lives through the accumulation of negative karma. So anger is one illustration. Then we think of its opposing mind, that of love. So love, then, we need to come to understand what is meant by love, and then to understand the impact that love has. In the same way as with anger, we look at the impacts it has on ourselves and others, in both the short, immediate term, as well as the long term, future lives. We see that when love is dominant within our mind, we are happy. Happy meaning our mind is spacious, peaceful and calm. We can utilize our wisdom to be of benefit to others no matter what we're encountering. And instead of harming others, we actually can interact through interacting skillfully with others. We can ease their burden of suffering rather than add to their burden of suffering. So therefore, by us being loving, not only do we benefit ourselves, but others. And moreover, we create causes for happiness in future lives as well. So we think like this, of the faults that come from the afflictions to ourselves and others in this and future lives, and the benefits that come from virtuous ways of thinking, such as love, to ourselves and others in this and future lives. And again, we do this through 1, gathering knowledge, 2, through reflection, coming to see through our own personal experience the validity of the presentation. And thereafter, we continue to reflect on this again and again and again. And the purpose of this is to become habituated to the faults of each afflicted mind and the benefits of each virtuous mind. And through doing so, and relying on mindfulness, being mindful of our mental state, when we notice the arisal of an affliction such as anger, immediately we will identify it as anger, as an affliction, and as harmful. And thereby, we will have the strength of mind to recognize that anger, for example, is not only a cause, or because it's a cause of suffering, it is never justified, it's never righteous, and therefore we will be determined not to be deceived by the affliction, not to being deceived and thinking that it's justified, and rather we will eliminate it through developing its opposing mind, in this case, love.
Kondo-sa-ta-wo-ro-si-tu-sam-ta-na-kang-ro-gi-ji-yong-do-ne-so-so-li-ya-kar-chi-gi-du-shan-la-kar-chi-gi-du-ne-gap-kar-gi-du-pu-lu-kar-yong-du-su-gi-gyu-yen-da-yuen-den-kar-du-ho-li-ya-gyu-yen-ma-ga-du-yuen-den-ga-ma-ga-du-yu-su-du-je-ba-chi-du-je-ba-chi-du-gyu-yen-chan-ya-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gyu-yen-sha-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gyu-yen-sha-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gyu-yen-sha-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gyu-yen-sha-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gyu-yen-sha-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gyu-yen-sha-tong-ong-ro-chi-za-gy ཁྱི ཕྱད ཁྱི 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 ཁྱི
So here, the advice that His Holiness is giving is that we need to gather knowledge and reflect on that knowledge and reflect on it not in a merely intellectual way, but in a personal way, coming to see whether the presentation is true or not. We see whether it's true or not through applying it to our own life. Because all our problems come about through not understanding reality, through ignorance. And here, let's take ignorance in a broader sense, and not misunderstanding reality in a broader sense. We all too often think that in a particular situation, an affliction such as anger can be justified, can be beneficial. So here, we are not understanding reality. And because we are not understanding reality, we may allow ourselves to come under the control of an affliction such as anger or attachment or pride, and from that, our suffering is amplified. So what we need to do is gather knowledge and then reflect on that knowledge, investigate it for ourselves, coming to see whether it's true or not. And so with both the afflicted minds as well as virtuous minds, we look at all of them in a similar way. We first take an affliction, whether it's anger or whether it's pride, or a virtuous mind such as love, and we ask ourselves, from this mind, does benefit come or harm? And how do we determine that? Short-term and long-term, self and others. So we ask ourselves, if pride arises, for example, is this benefiting me in the short term, and through the accumulation of karma in the long term, and in terms of others? When pride arises in me, does that benefit others now in the short term and in the long term? So this is the technique for each of the afflicted minds and virtuous minds. Ask ourselves, are they beneficial or harmful in the short and long term for self and other? We do so by looking at our experience in life, what we ourselves have directly experienced, what we have also observed. In this way, we come to know ourselves better. And the more we reflect like this, especially if it's in a sustained meditation, habit, a daily practice, we'll come to know ourselves ever more. And in this way, we'll be able to integrate deeper what we learn in the classes. And that through this integration, the spiritual development, we'll be able to turn away from habitual ways of thinking that we now have come to recognize as harmful. And we'll ensure that we evermore are under the influence of the ways of thinking that we have come to see clearly are beneficial. The process that I've just identified is important because in order to become the person that we can become, we need to gather knowledge, but not leave it at a mere shallow intellectual insight, but rather develop it into a deeply felt conviction and eventually into direct experience. So this comes about independent, gathering knowledge and reflecting on it in the way that I've presented. And as one does so, one will be able to go to deeper and deeper levels of reflection. So for example, I've been using mainly the illustration of anger. So we've come to recognize that anger is always harmful. Then we can ask ourselves, so where does anger come from? So we get angry usually because either someone or an event, a circumstance, is acting in a way that is contrary to our wishes. Our wishes aren't being fulfilled, an unwanted circumstance, or what someone has said or done, or not said or done. So others we see as acting against our wishes, or circumstances being against our wishes. And then we get angry. And this can happen in so many circumstances. And especially when we understand anger as not just being full-blown rage, but all the subtleties, the subtler expressions of that. So for example, when one's watching sport, and your team is playing badly, then one's mind is not light and spacious. Emotions are rising. Now we may not call that anger, but it's within that class. Our team are not living up to our expectations. They are not fulfilling our wishes. They are underplaying against their potential and they're losing. Or the opponents, they are not acting in accordance with our wishes. They're playing too well. So from this, our afflictions arise. And why? Our wishes are not being fulfilled. Our wishes are not being fulfilled. So this term our or my or I, it's from this, the way we are relating to ourself, our I. This is where the mistake comes from. my wishes are not being fulfilled, therefore I'm getting angry. This person is not talking to me in the way that I deem appropriate, therefore I am getting angry. The way we relate to the I is the basis from which our afflictions arise. Then to summarize very briefly what we've looked at thus far, His Holiness has presented the importance for changing our way of thinking. So last night we spoke about how our suffering and our happiness is primarily dependent on our way of thinking. So therefore, through changing our way of thinking, we can reduce suffering and increase happiness. So here now, His Holiness has been presenting the importance to identify which ways of thinking are unwholesome because they lead to suffering for self and others in this and future lives, and which are wholesome or virtuous because they lead to happiness for self and others in this and future lives. Having recognized that, and then not only do we need to identify these, but we need to identify them in a deep way so we can take mere knowledge and deepen it within ourselves so we gain conviction of this. In dependence on conviction, we will then, with mindfulness, guard ourselves from coming under the influence of unwholesome ways of thinking and ensure our mind, our way of thinking, stays wholesome. So if you have some questions, then we have a few minutes, then please feel free to ask. Alan.
You should have mentioned last night that in the definition of perfection, that it only applies to only Arya Bodhisattvas are practicing the perfection. That's how I understood it. Does that mean that the Bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation and preparation are not practicing these six perfections?
So Geshe last night said that only bodhisattvas are practicing perfections, and the way I understood that was that it's Arya bodhisattvas. So what about ordinary bodhisattvas on the paths of accumulation and preparation? Are they not practicing perfections? So it doesn't apply only to Arya bodhisattvas, but all bodhisattvas. All bodhisattvas are engaging in the six perfections. Because the term perfection is literally, or the term that's translated as perfection, is literally going beyond. What does it refer to going beyond? Going beyond suffering. So the bodhisattvas of any path are focusing on going beyond suffering so that they can benefit others. Or to translate perfection differently, transcend. So to attain a state of transcendence, to transcend suffering, to go beyond to the far shore, to transcend suffering, means that bodhisattva is meditating or practicing in order to attain liberation and enlightenment, in order to benefit others. So it's all bodhisattvas. Okay. The back?
My question is just on ego and our past why, and how unconsciously we can And I know that one of you today was to reflect and develop our behaviour, but my question actually is, will we be going into that more in this text?
Going into
ego and past life and the seeds of that affecting our unconscious behaviour, because today we talked about developing our self-knowledge and reflection. Will we actually be going into the nitty-gritty of that more? Because all of us would be affected by that.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll continue with that from next time, where we'll be looking at how to develop more wholesome qualities within ourselves.